Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity. We ask your Holy Spirit's presence again. We already sensed it, but we pray, Lord, that somebody will leave helped by the song, the service, the speaking, the sermon, the reading. Whatever may all this contribute to making us better for thee. And may your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So we're looking, and we're going to read these words together at Acts chapter 9, verse 6. We'll read together. And he, trembling and astonishment, Lord, what would thou have me to do? One more time. And he, trembling and astonished, saying, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. So we're talking this morning, amen. We have been talking about the fact that we're in continuing this message on scared straight, amen. And we know that God wants us to be straight. He wants to straighten out people, places, and things. Last week we looked at how he straightened out relationships. He straightened out places that are homes, or whether you straighten up your home physically, or you need to straighten your house up, or you're talking about your residence. But he straightens out things, and that's religion. Religions have to be straightened out, amen, because we get confused. And that's what we're looking at this morning, at the apostle who was committed to religion versus relationship. And so we want to continue in that vein of being scared straight as we talk this morning about your wish is my command. Can we say that together? Amen. Say it one more time. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Because we're living in a world by which we're living in a selfish world. Where people often only think about themselves instead of thinking about God. You may be familiar with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. It's all about somebody else. But I've not heard of a Make-A-Donation Foundation. Amen. Amen. But we know about making a wish. Amen. But when God wants something, as he often needs us, we ought to have this mentality. We ought to say, you know, Lord, if you want something, consider it done. If it's something I can do, consider it done. We should be able to say, my pleasure. Or we could say, your wish is my command. That's the way it ought to be with God, because he's been so good to us. And the aim of our sermon is still for us to straighten up and fly right. Amen. For us to straighten up and fly right. That phrase is often used. And when we talk about a wish, we're talking about a desire or a hope for something to happen. When somebody want a wish, when they have a wish, they make a wish. Usually something that is not easily attainable, a wish. Amen. But when I think about those who normally say your wish is my command, falls into three categories. Amen. At least it's limited to these this morning. When I think about love, when I think about life, when I think about the Lord, when I think about the fact that if you love someone, you're willing to give them a gift, and you tell them your wish is my command. When I think about not only a gift, but a gun. When somebody puts a gun to your head and you consider the loss of life, amen, it's clear that you tell them your wish. You can have whatever you want, amen. It's my command. But not only when you talk about gifts and God, gifts and guns, but when you talk about God, we think about the love and the love, we think about the loss of life, we think about how we love the Lord. And so because we love the Lord, we say to him, your wish is my command. Amen. And so, because oftentimes we get it mixed up. Amen. The kids want to be the parents. The employees want to be the boss. And the servants want to be the Lord. We want God to serve us instead of us serving God. Have we got a witness? And he will serve us, but we don't need to get it twisted. Amen. We're here to do his will and to do his plan. Amen. That is something we cannot afford to get mixed up. Amen. God's will is paramount. God's will. So we think about him. We think about being humble. We think about, amen, the fact of helping God do his bidding, helping God do his work be carried out. But oftentimes we don't think about him. We think about us. Amen. And so Paul here is an example of someone who seeks to get God to serve him instead of him serving God. And while he is sincere in his religion, he's sincerely wrong. Amen. God has not called us to carry, we're not supposed to be getting God to carry out our plans. We're supposed to be carrying out God's plans. And Paul's big mistake was to try to get God to serve him instead of him serving God. Amen. Do you do that? Amen. We got to recognize that we're supposed to serve God. He wanted to change God instead of letting God change him. Do you do that? Do you try to change God instead of letting God change you? Amen. 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 We try to change God and make God do and be the way we want him to be, but that's not the way that it's supposed to be. Amen. He wanted God to change instead of him changing. Amen. He says, Lord, you change. I'm not going to change. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. God, we're supposed to change and not God. Amen. And so as we look at this, we must realize that there are beliefs, there are religions right now that specializes for the sole purpose of trying to get God to serve them. Amen. Amen. Trying to get God to do what I want, placing demands on God, telling God what he ought to do. Amen. Name it and claim it. And amen. Amen. While that's not void of all qualities, the point is we can't order God around. Amen. God may not want to give you what you want. He may give you what you need and give it to you when you're ready, when he's ready for you to have it. But God, we have got to recognize that, amen, there are religions to build their faith on getting God to do what they want done. And that is not the way that it's supposed to be. I don't get God to serve me. I'm supposed to serve him. Amen. If I serve him, he'll take care of me. And that's what we got to recognize. But we come to God with our expectations, and we see Paul here as an example of trying to get God to serve his religious beliefs, because he thought that God was concerned about getting rid of Caesar. But no, God was not concerned about getting rid of Caesar. He was concerned about getting rid of sin. Amen. You see how it can get mixed up? Jesus came all the way to the earth to get us to get us saved, and we were stuck on a religion that's more concerned about the rights or the deliverance of the Jews out of the hands of their oppressors. Amen. God knows about our oppressors. Amen. But our goal is to make sure that we are not trying to get God to do what we want him to do. Amen. We're to serve him. He's not to serve us. Amen. Amen. But Paul is an example of how it's gotten all mixed up. And while we bring our expectations, we must never forget that Paul set an example that we should not follow. Amen. So we think about H-I-M. We think about the fact that we're supposed to be serving him. He's not supposed to be serving us. Amen. But I think also about humble, being humble. Amen. Paul needed to be humble. Paul needed to be humble. In other words, God needed to straighten Paul out. Amen. Sometimes you got to straighten folk out. Amen. Amen. Paul had to get it straight. It's not all about me delivering you from Caesar. It's about me delivering you from sin. Amen. Amen. We need to get it straight. Amen. Let's not get it twisted. Amen. God says it's about you being delivered from sin. I'm far more concerned about your soul than you are your physical condition. So he tells him that, Paul, I got to get you straightened out. And that's what John the Baptist did when he came. He says that I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Matthew 3:3. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And what do you want to do? Make his path straight. Amen. Prepare the way of the Lord. Amen. We know that Adam Clark writes, as he was, this was a period when it was the practice of the Eastern monarchy upon entering an expedition or a desert country to send harbingers before them to prepare the passage and to pioneer, to open the path, and to level and to remove all impediments, to clear the way for the king. Have we got a witness? He said you had to prepare the way for Jesus Christ to come into your life. He says, and if he's in your life, he's got to straighten you out to get you. You see, Paul thought he was serving God, but he was serving God his way, with his expectations in mind. So you got to prepare the way of the Lord. You got to make his path straight. But God says that I have come, and that's my purpose of coming, because we live in a crooked world. Amen. We live in a crooked world. Amen. According to Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, it tells us that we live in a crooked world. And it tells us that we ought to be blameless and we ought to be harmless. We're not supposed to be accused of any wrong. Amen. He says that we ought to be the sons of God, and that we ought to be, we are in a crooked and perverse nation. Amen. We're in a crooked world. Amen. Have you ever thought about the world being crooked? You live in a crooked world, according to the Bible. Amen. Philippians 2:15 tells us that we're living in a crooked world, and it needs to be straightened out. Amen. It's a crooked world. And he said we ought to shine as lights in the world. Amen. We are. Are you shining? Ask your neighbor, are you shining? Amen. Amen. We're supposed to shine, according to Philippians 2:15, as lights in a dark world. One version said we are supposed to be like stars at night in the skies. That's why Christians ought to be in a crooked world, because the world is crooked, and so we light the world up. And we light it up with godliness and with holiness in a world that is not holy. We're to light up the world. We're supposed to shine. As lights in the world. Crooked. Amen. We gotta straighten it out. And that's what John the Baptist said in Luke chapter 3, verse 5. He says, I have come, amen, to fill the valleys. Amen. I have come to make the crooked places straight. He said, that's why I came. That was my sole purpose of coming, is to straighten out a crooked world. Amen. Amen. And so The mountains are going to be made low. The valleys are going to be filled. The crooked ways are going to be made straight, and the rough places are going to be made smooth. God says, I got to make a path. Amen, amen. Because the Bible says that wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Matthew 7:14, amen. But you got to enter ye in, he said, at the straight gate. Can everybody shout straight? Amen. Amen. That's what he said. You got to enter in at the straight gate. God wants us to walk straight, be straight in a crooked world. He wants you and I to be and walk straight. And for that to happen, you must be humble. And how can you be humble? Well, you got to be like a... they asked Jesus one day, he said, which is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? In Matthew 18:2. And Jesus went and got a little child, and he set the little child there as an example. He said, except ye be converted and become as a little child, you can't get in. Have you become like a little child before the Lord? Are you bullheaded? Are you humble? Can the Lord use, can he get you to do anything? We're going to get to that. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, you got to be like a little child. You got to be believing like a little child. And that was Paul's problem. Paul's problem was that, amen, he was not able to be used by God because, amen, he had to be humble. He was not humble enough. He was determined for God to carry out his will. Paul yet, he was still doing it in verse 3. He already killed a deacon, amen. In verse 9, chapter 9, verse 1, he's yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And he went to the high priest and got letters, desired of him letters that if he found any of that way, that he would bring them back bound and put them in Jerusalem in the jail. Paul was rough. But then something happened to Paul. We find out in verse 3 that there was a light that shone all the way from heaven all around him while he was on his way to destroy the Christians. A light was all around Paul. And we find out in verse 4 that he fell to the earth. And we find out in verse 9 that he eventually ended up, amen, amen, had going 3 days without being able to see at all. And verse 8 tells us that they had to lead him around by the hand. Amen, amen. And so here we find Paul trembling. Amen. The Bible says that he's trembling now. Things have changed around. He says that he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Amen. God had to scare him. You know, a lot of times God can't get what he want out of us. A lot of folk won't act right until tragedy hits. Something that they can't control. And it turns them around. Amen. Something has to happen. God has to sometimes let the heads come down and Satan come in and scare you to death before you get straight. You got to be scared straight. Sometimes you got to put that fear in the hearts of his people. And that's what God is doing. He is putting fear in his people. It's not a fear that he's going to hurt you, but a reverential fear. You may think he's going to hurt you, and you may feel like he may hurt you. Amen. But God put that fear in our hearts, didn't he? Do you fear the Lord? Amen. Do you fear him enough to do what he tells you to do? Amen. And you got the example of a child. Are you humble? And so what Paul did, now he's trembling and he's blind and he don't have anything to eat now and he don't have anything to drink now. And for 3 days, somebody else got to lead him around and he's trembling. Amen. He's scared. Amen. He's scared now. And that's the way God is. That's the way he was with Moses. Sometimes you won't do what God wants you to do, so he got to put fear in your heart. Amen. God had told Moses upon his return from Egypt, amen, he told him that I want you to circumcise your son. And Moses didn't want to do what God told him to do. Amen. He was more concerned about what his wife thought. Zipporah didn't want him. He said, you are a bloody husband. Amen. And we find out in Exodus 4:24 that he didn't want to do it, but the Bible said that God met him in the way to kill him. Amen. You think God will take him out? Have you ever read that where God met Moses when he got back and he was going to meet him in the way to kill him? He caught him making a path somewhere. He was walking somewhere and God met him and he was going to kill him. What was God doing? Putting a fear in his heart. You're going to have to do what I want you to do. And some Christians right now, they won't do what God wanted them to do. And sometimes something has to happen to scare them. And, amen, Israel had the same problem. Amen. God had given Moses the Ten Commandments in Matthew and Exodus 20 and 18 and 19. Exodus 20, and after he had given him the thou shalt nots, and he told him, he was talking to Israel, and they saw the mountain that was in, the mountain was smoking. Amen. They saw the lightning. They saw the thunder. They heard the trumpets blowing. Amen. Like Brother Castaneda was blowing. Here they heard the trumpets blowing. And then they told Moses, we don't want God to talk to us. You talk to God and we'll just listen at you. Let God talk to you and you talk to us. Amen. Because, amen, they got scared because they saw the fire. They saw the smoke. They heard the trumpets. They saw the thunder and the lightning, and God had to let them know that, amen, that it made them nervous. Amen. And then they said that we'll listen to you, Moses. You talk to God because that guy, amen, he scared us half to death. Amen. And that's what happens. That's what happens to us, is that God has to scare us. God scared Paul, and he scared him. Amen. He scared literally the daylights out of him. Amen. He couldn't even see. Amen. Amen. The Bible tells us that he scared him half to death. But that's the way it is. But some people are stubborn. They don't want to do what God wants them to do. Amen. They don't want to do what God wants them to do. Amen. They won't come out. Amen. They won't do what God wants them to do. God tell you, come out and do what I want you to do. Amen. Come out and serve me. Amen. Amen. Give up your personal for my will. Come out. Amen. Ali Ali Akuntri. Amen. Come out. Amen. And but some people don't want to give up control of their life. They want to serve God. But then while I'm serving God, I want God to serve me. I really ain't interested. I'm really not interested in the church. I'm not really interested in doing anything. I'm just really need somebody to help me through life. I ain't interested in what I can give God. I'm interested in what God can give me. Is that where God has found you today? Are you more interested in what God can do for you than what you can do for him? Some people don't want to give up control of their life, but amen. And they find out that God is doing something different from them, but they can't make the change. And that's what we find out, is Paul survived the change. He had to have a change in his life to see that God is not doing what you expected him to do. And Paul had to give up the reins of his life, and he had to give up control. But he survived the change. He survived the change. And God told him, he says that I want you to do my will. I want you to say that your wish is my command. God is looking for us to do his will and carry out his wishes. And what we find out is that the only way that's going to happen is sometimes you got to be scared. Amen. You got to be scared into humility. Amen. And sometimes, amen, God is not going to give what he wants until we become humbled. Oh, how many of y'all know that you got to be humble? Yeah. Amen. And oftentimes we'll say we know that, but we won't do it. We're not humble. We're not humble. We are too strong-willed before the Lord. People, amen, how do you know somebody's not humble? When they won't do what God says? Very simple. We are to carry out the will of God, and that's not going to happen while you're on the throne. Amen. God can't get his will done through certain people. Why? Because they are not humble enough to be used by God. God is looking for humility. Because the fact of the matter is, he needs some help. I think about the fact that Paul needs to know that it was all about him. And he needed to be humble because God needed some help. And God told him that, and that's what he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Amen. It's something you want me to do. I want to know, what is it? Amen. What is it? What is it that you want from me? We'll have to answer to God one day. You know what the answer is going to be? Amen. Number one, if you're up there, if you're a Christian, you're already saved, so you already get. But the next thing to do, what did God want you to do at Zion Rest? That's where you were assigned. That's where he should have led you if you joined the church. You ought to want to, if he led you there, you ought to know, now, what is my assignment here? It ain't about Zion Rest. It ain't about the pastor. It ain't about the choir director. It ain't about the deacon. It's about what I'm supposed to be doing for the Lord. And God calls you to work with those he called at that place. He ain't never called nobody to go upset no place and tear it all to pieces. That's not godly. That's hell. That's from hell, the pits of hell. I want to get to that. That's the devil at work. God ain't not caused you to operate on that in that vein. You ought to want to know, what will thou have me to do? Lord, what am I supposed to be doing for you, not them, you. You're the one who I'm serving. You died for them. They didn't. Amen. I want to know what, oh Lord, have mercy. I can't get away from it. What wilt thou have me to do?